Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Park Street Church. I'm grateful you're here. Happy New Year. And to you as well. My name's Nate. If you don't know me, I've been working here for a little over a year. Time flies when you're having fun. Yes, let in the light. It's New Year's. I know you know this because you made a special point to come to church and be with us. We're grateful for that. On the first day of 2017. If you're like me, the beginning of a new year causes you to reflect a little more, to ask yourself some deeper questions, focus on important things, right? And so I've been asking myself these really important questions, such as, when your pants, you know, when your shirt is tucked into your pants, every other time, is it the case that your pants are tucked into your shirts? Think about it, people. That's the kind of morning we're going to have, just so you know. I've planned that out for us. Let me ask you this question. Do you think the person that invented the phrase one-hit wonder had any other phrases that became popular? Fair question. Technically, isn't all cereal cold soup? That's actually meant as an encouragement to those of you who are culinarily impaired. Because from now on, now that you know that, when people say, well, do you cook? You can go, well, no, actually, I make delicious cold soup. Like a ceviche? No, Kellogg's. We turn over the calendar year and we tend to reflect. We tend to think about what's important, what's coming up, what's going to be new and exciting, and what can we redo and reinvest in the next year, and this year is no exception. We're looking forward to what God has for our community, for our world. And for some of us, it's kind of nice to put 2016 in the rearview window, frankly. But here's the thing. This is important. Years are not like real people. You know that, right? People are like, I had a bad 2016. That's better than like 2016 was a bad year. Years are just things, and you actually determine whether you have a good year or not, right? And Christ journaling alongside you, even with challenges, even with years that are really hard, we can say that 2017 is going to be a good year for me because I have the Lord and he's walking with me. But I want to remind us that bad things are still going to happen in 2017, right? Like, celebrities are still going to die, shocking. We've already had one celebrity death in 2017, actually. It was Mariah Carey's career. All right, now that I got the reaction from you that I wanted, we can go to scripture. We want to start out every year, the first of the year, we all come together, we have one service, so that we can all together get a clear vision of what God might be inviting us into next. And so this year, that's what we're doing. We're going to be in Revelation 22. So flip all the way to the end. Revelation 22, verses 1 to 6 is our text this morning. We are focusing on the Word of God and what it means for us to be a people of God in 2017. Here's the Word of God for you this morning. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place." Let's pray this morning. Jesus, we acknowledge that you sit on the throne of all time. And for some of us, we are grateful to be offered once more an opportunity to turn a page, to begin again. And yet, we recognize that as the Lord of all time, we don't have to wait for a special day on a calendar to get a fresh start with you. That you invite us each moment to come before you, to lay down our burdens, our difficulties, our triumphs, all of it at your feet. May we do so with more consistency this year by the power of your Spirit. May we look to you more often in times of trouble and in times of celebration. May 2017 be a year that's marked, if nothing else in our lives, by more and more of your Spirit and your power and the life that you bring. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus, and God's people said, amen. Amen. May that be true for you this morning. So every picture has three components. Every interesting landscape has three components. If you're going to take an interesting photograph, if you're going to try to paint a picture, if you're going to try to doodle something, here are the parts. Let's show up a picture. So every picture has these three interesting parts. Abby, it's your turn. Okay. go on, sister. The first is the foreground, right? So the thing that's closest to you, in this case, it's a picture of a road. But the next thing is called the middle ground. We're looking for some definition here. We're looking for clear parts. So in this picture, the middle ground would be those trees. And then finally, there's a background. There's something in the distance beyond that maybe you are headed towards. In this case, it's the mountains and the clouds. So all of those things, I haven't checked with Robin Roberts, but I think that that's true, that all of those things are ingredients that go into making something interesting, something with perspective, something with depth. I want to argue that there's a fourth thing in every landscape, and it's what I'm going to call it's beyond the horizon. That's the thing that's on the other side of the mountain, right? That's the thing that lets you know that even though there's something big in the background, there's more if you could just get past it, right? Revelation 22 is what's beyond the horizon for those who are followers of Jesus Christ, right? Revelation 22 is God putting everything back together the way he intended it in Genesis 1, right? Revelation 22 speaks of the tree of life. Where have we seen the tree of life in Scripture before, right? In the garden. And now, this tree of life that we've previously not been able to partake of the fruit of it, now it bears 12 fruits in and out of season, and its leaves are healing the nations. And there's this sense that we get to partake in the fruit of the tree of life. And that's why Revelation 22 says, the servants of God will reign with him forever and ever, because this tree gives life and life abundance, okay? This is actually a framework that we've used to do some strategic planning as a church over the last year. The leadership board, the staff, all of our volunteers. We did communal discernment as a community, if you remember last year. And this is the framework we've been using to kind of break down where we think the Lord is taking us, right? That there's this idea that there's a foreground. There are things that we need to do in the immediate future. There's a middle ground. There's something that we need to probably accomplish by the end of this year. There's a background. There are these things that need to happen over the course of the next 3 to 5 years. And then there's beyond the horizon. There's things that we're hoping by the power of God's Spirit that we will be able to accomplish in years and generations to come as a community, right? And one of the things that I'm really excited about is sometimes when you do strategic planning, there's this like desire, this emphasis to come up with something new and snazzy. Like we've really got to think of something amazing that we can set as our big giant goal. And as we were praying and talking as a community, we said, why don't we just let Scripture tell us what our goal is? Wouldn't that be nice? Like, instead of us doing like a lot of brainstorming and coming up with great ideas, why don't we just let Scripture dictate what our ultimate goal is? Kind of get an amen from the church, right? Amen. And what we know, the goal, the beyond the horizon goal of the church of Christ is this, the tree of life, right? That there would be this restoration of all things, that God's shalom, his peace and presence would invade all of creation, and there would be no more curse, there would be no more sin, there'd be no more death, there'd be no more crying, there would be love and light and the presence of God everywhere. And so that seems like a good goal to us, right? That seems like something we ought to shoot for, something we ought to be striving for, something we ought to be praying and seeking on a daily basis. And so that's kind of what we've decided we want to model our strategic plan around, right? What if this community served as a tree of life for Ashland, Ohio, right? What would that look like if we came together in worship of Jesus Christ, and because of our existence, because God has called together this community, Ashland would flourish as a result. Like, if somebody was weary, they could come and find rest in the shade of the Tree of Life at Park Street, right? If someone was hungry, they could come and be nourished, right, in this community that loves and gives of their gifts freely. If somebody was hurting, they could come and experience healing from a community that wants to walk alongside people in and out of season. That's what I want us to be. I want us to be a tree of life for our community. I want us to bear spiritual fruit. I want us to be a people who are reflecting the future reality in a small way right here in Ashland. Does that sound good? Sounds like exactly what the Lord wants. Funny thing for me is that as we went through this strategic planning, it came to all of our realization that I think almost exclusively in beyond the horizon terms and thoughts. Who said that? My staff is saying amen. Okay. So what am I doing next week?
Oh, no.
What are we going to be doing 3 months from now? I assume some of this, probably. But as far as the steps that need to be taken to get there, that's not my thing. That's gratefully why the church is much more, and we're really grateful in this case, than the pastor. The church is the people of God gathering around the same mission. And so I now understand our daughter Rosie. She's really excited because for Christmas, one of the things that Leah's family, my wife's family, got us was they're gifting us a vacation to the beach with their whole family next summer, right? Well, very exciting stuff. Especially exciting because we'll be traveling with three children, three and under. Yeah. It's going to be fine. Nothing a little iPad can't fix. Okay. My wife's like, you will not corrupt our children. So Rosie, we told her about the beach, and since the moment she found out about the beach, she has talked to me every day about going to the beach. We are leaving in July of 2017. Okay? It's not like next weekend, okay? But she's excited. When we talk to people, she said, and we're going to the beach with Grant. She's already planning how exciting that is. And I feel that way sometimes with my obsession with the beyond the horizon, because just like Rosie, sometimes I have no idea on how we're going to get there. I just know I want to get there, right? And so what we did as a church is we came together as leadership and we started trying to plot out how do we get there? Because for me, it's fine enough to say, hey, we're going to the beach, and then assume that I can sleep for 8 hours on the car ride there, right? Like, that's what I like to do. But for those of us who are like actually planning and helping, plotting us along, we need some help understanding how this group of people that God has called over the course of several years of faithful obedience are going to become a tree of life for this community. All right, so we want to give you a map, all right? And we call this map the Park Street Pathway, okay? These are the things we think we need to do, both individually and corporately, in order to get where we want to go, which is to be a tree of life for our community. Does that make sense? All you detail people should be rejoicing right now. We're giving you some handholds on how we're going to move forward. Okay, first thing, this is what we think you need to do if you want to be a part of this community that's going forward to become a tree of life. The first thing is you should worship, right? There's something powerful about all of us getting together just like this in this room and praising and exalting the name of Christ. There's something powerful when we all get together in one body, in one spirit, in one mind, and decide to set aside some time in our busy week just to focus on Christ and his word and what it means for us, okay? Energize your faith. That's what we hope to do here. We give you coffee. We give you opportunities to hug and snuggle. Especially the single people at Park Street, we love that part. We give opportunities for us to dive in the word. We give opportunities for us to pray. We give opportunities for us to worship God in song. Engage and energize your faith. That's what we're hoping this is. So if you're here this morning, check. You already did it. One step down the pathway already. You are totally on your way to reflecting the kingdom of God. Good work. Step two, we call discipleship, right? And so the idea here is that any given week last year, 2016, our attendance at Park Street was anywhere from 400 to 500 folks based on whether AU was in session or not, right? And that is too many people for one person to pastor and help you grow well, right? You know that. You all should know that. It's important to me that you know that. And so recognizing that this is an amazing opportunity, this gathered time for us to energize our faith, it's not necessarily the best time for us to engage in the plotting and becoming more like Jesus. That happens actually more effectively in a smaller level, right? So we got lots of options for this. We've got amazing ABFs. We've got amazing Bible studies. We're starting up new small groups here in a couple weeks. We do mentoring here. All of these are opportunities for you to engage in the process of becoming more like Jesus, right? At our home, we discovered this amazing thing, smoothies for little children who don't want to eat vegetables or drink fruit, right? Somebody turned us onto this, and all of a sudden, you can like put all the stuff that they turn their nose up into a blender and put some other like apple juice in it, and you just turn it on, and they will drink it. It's amazing. We put spinach and, you know, all this other stuff. We put it all in there, we blend it up, put a little cherry on top of it, and give it to our children, and they think it's a treat, right? I'm going to argue that that's basically what Sunday morning is for you. Sunday morning is a smoothie, right? It is our attempt to make the goodness and the truth of God presented to you in the most palatable way, right? That's why I delete 10 of every 11 jokes that I come up with on Sunday morning, okay? So really, this is the best of the best. I hope you're happy. But that's what Sunday morning is. Sunday morning is a smoothie, and it's good for you, and it's nutrient-rich, and it's effective in giving you the things you need. But if your diet is only smoothies, we got problems, right? Unless you just had, like, an oral surgery or you don't have any teeth at all, we would hope that you would supplement those smoothies with some real nutrient-rich food. And we want to say that's basically what discipleship is. It's doing life with somebody in a way that asks more of you. It's inviting you to take more ownership, to chew on what it means to be a Christ follower and to try to live it out in a community that not only supports you, but also holds you accountable. That's step two. Step three is what we're going to call stewardship. Basically, it's investing your spiritual gifts back into this community, right? So everybody that I am around sometimes in this church reminds me of something I already know, and every once in a while somebody says, this church is incredibly talented. Have you ever heard somebody say that? No, well, you just heard me say it, so technically yes. This church is really, really rich with people who are amazingly gifted in a lot of different areas. Music and arts and hospitality and leadership and finances. That wasn't given to me, but to our CPA people. Yeah. Thank you for that. We need that gift. This church has been really, really gifted, blessed in abundance with really, really talented people. And you can use those gifts that God has entrusted you with to bless your church. Do you know that? Right? There are many, many ways. And it's all gifts, too. It's not like only great singers get to, like, bless the church. That's not true. All gifts, right? So if you just love making people feel welcome, we need you. If you are one of those odd ducks that, like, knows how to, like, make computers do the things you want them to do, we need you, right? If whatever your gift is, from the most simple to the most complex, the church needs it. And so our step three is figuring out how do you go from being somebody who's in a community that's discipling to a person that now says, okay, I'm aware of the giftedness that God has poured into my life. How can I pour it back into his church and serve his bride? That's step three. Step four, we call leadership. And that's simply extending the gifts that you've been given, extending the blessings that you've received to our greater community, right? So not just being a leader in your own congregation at home, but being a leader in your neighborhood, in your home, in your place of work. And this is sometimes the place where it gets a little like, I don't know. Because maybe you're sitting here tracking along and you're like, okay, I can come on Sunday mornings and yeah, I've been plugged into an ABF and yeah, I like using my gifts. But then you use that word leadership and I feel like it doesn't apply to me. Does anybody feel like that? It's like, you lost me at leadership. That word is used to describe someone else. Thank you for putting your hand up there, Billy. Is that Billy? I would agree, you're not a leader. just kidding. Love you, kisses. Well, here's what I would say to Billy and anybody else who feels that way, who feels like that's leadership is for someone else to do. This is important. If you hear nothing else on this Sunday, I'm okay with if you just hear this. There's no such thing as a non-leader in the kingdom of God. Right? No such thing. Every person who is a follower is a leader of somebody who's one step behind them. Right? So if you are a follower of Christ and you wear that as something that, yeah, that is something that describes me. I want to follow Jesus. Guess what? That makes you a leader to somebody who just might be a step behind. Somebody who wants to know, okay, I see how that person who's completely different than me lives out their faith, but what's it look like for me to live out my faith? Maybe you are that for someone else, right? You are the image of obedience to somebody else. You are the person God has picked. Let me give you the most bare bones definition of leadership that I can come up with. Leadership is just changing your environment. That's it. Changing your environment. You can do that in a million ways, okay? You can change your environment by choosing not to be reactive in a place that's really reactive. Did you know that? You can change your environment by like bringing somebody some scones when they're feeling sick. You can change your environment simply by knocking on your neighbor's door and saying, hey, I don't know if we've ever met, but I live right next to you, and if you ever need anything, let me know. That's called changing, that's leadership. And those who are following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ are called, if anything, to be people who change their environment for the kingdom of God, amen? So you're a leader. Start wearing that. Put that on your resume. Leader, right? Follower of Jesus, and therefore, inherently, someone who has the capacity to change any environment to more reflect the kingdom of God. All right? So those are our four steps. Maybe you're doing some of these. Maybe you're doing a combination of these. We don't want to make this like 15 steps because, unlike me, you guys don't get paid to be Christian for a living, right? Right? So I don't want to like fill your day up with a bunch of tasks and stuff. I want to give you a practical, these are the things we think that if we all covenanted together to do, all of a sudden we would start looking like authentic disciples who live life on mission with God. Right? Worship plus discipleship plus stewardship plus leadership, that's what it means to be authentic disciple living life on mission with God. And if we all do that, if we all commit, all of us, we're going to like be present and be in a community on Sunday morning. We're going to go deep with people that we know and trust. We're going to start giving our gifts back to church, and we're start going to leading out in our homes and our communities and our places of work. My belief is all of a sudden, Ashland, Ohio looks more like a slice of heaven, right? It looks more like a place where the fruit of the Spirit is abundant and people can come and take and eat whatever they want. So here's what I want. If you haven't made a New Year's resolution yet, I want you to make one this morning. And it's this. Wherever you're at on that pathway, I just want you to take one more step. That 2017 would be the year that you would take the next step. So maybe like you're just a person who just like wandered in from the street. I am so sorry if that is the case. It's always like this. It doesn't get better. But maybe you are, and maybe like step one for you is just attending regularly. And here's the other thing that I don't talk about a lot, but I really mean, it doesn't have to be this church. Like, if you fit better somewhere else, my concern is that you're growing in Christ-likeness. So, like, blessings. And not, like, in a, like, snarky way. Blessings. Pursue Christ. If there's another place that you can find community that pushes you into Christ-likeness better than this, go there. Right? Maybe you're a person who's been coming regularly, but you haven't done that next step of finding a small group, of finding a mentor, of doing, do that. Make 2017, that's your resolution. Take the next step, right? Maybe you're in small group, maybe you're in ABF, but you haven't figured out a way to use your gift to bless the church. Take that next step, right? If you're someone who's doing all those three things, but you haven't figured out a way to become Christ to your neighbors, take that next step. May that be your resolution next year. Okay, so that's the pathway. That's how we go from, like, just being here to getting someday, by the power and the help and the grace of God, to the beyond the horizon. If everybody here just committed to do that, those four things, submitting those things to Christ and living them out, I guarantee you Ashland would look more like the kingdom of God. It would, right? For those of you who are super interested, the pathway is the map. And we have this other thing called systems that basically exist as the engine, the car engine that's going to get us there. This is what those look like. I am not going to talk about those this morning because, good Lord. but they are a thing. And if you ever want to talk to about them, I get really geeky about this stuff. This is the stuff that actually makes me excited as opposed to Excel spreadsheets like Jordan Lance. Okay. Is that true? You love Excel. Okay. So talk to me about this if you're interested sometime. If you're in leadership and you don't understand this, I'd love to explain this to you. And also, it looks pretty. Okay. So I want to close with this. Doug does his own coffee roasting, right? If you haven't had it, you can try some on your way out this morning. It's delicious. And one of the things that I've been learning as just being a friend of Doug's is that a lot of coffee that we consume is not good. I had to hang out with somebody who was fancy about coffee to figure out that my latte from Duke and Duchess was not, like, I like it. And this is actually really interesting. Is if you look at the history of coffee in the United States, especially once coffee started becoming like a household item, like a pretty regular commodity, I've learned all of this stuff, that coffee, when you roast it, it still has some like gases that are in the bean. Stop me anytime, I get way off track. So far, we're good. And so what happens is after you roast the coffee for a minute, it off-gasses, right? It releases some of the energy that is still stored up in it during the roasting process. And what would happen is early on, coffee companies used to try to ship coffee that came right out of the roaster to the grocery stores, and all the containers they put it in would explode because they were still letting off gas. So the great solution that they had to fix this problem was wait until the coffee is stopped giving off gas, which means that it is stale. And then they put it, and they put Folgers on it, and they ship it to you, all right? So for an entire generation, people have been drinking stale coffee and liking it. You plebeians, I can't believe it. commoners with your instant coffee that you don't even understand. If you had a refined palate like me, you'd understand how stale it is. But we got used to stale coffee. And that just became normative. So much to the point that actually if you taste fresh right out of the roaster, grind it yourself, put it in an AeroPress, French press, whatever, and drink it coffee, it tastes like a completely different drink. And it got to be to the point that some people actually prefer the stale stuff to the fresh stuff. Their palate has become so accumulated to the stale coffee. It's really important to me that we as a church don't begin to prefer the taste of stale faith. Right? I don't want imitation discipleship. I want the real thing. The first time Doug gave me, like, he handed me a bag that was still warm. It had just come out of the roaster. And I tasted that cup, and I was like, I'll never go back. I just, you know? And if I'm over at my grandma's house and she wants to put like some instant coffee in a hot cup of water that she just microwaved, I'm like, I'll just, no. I'll just pass for now. Because once I tasted the real thing, it was like, this is not the same, you know? I want us to be a community that has the real thing with Jesus. The real thing. The thing that stretches you, the thing that calls you out on your brokenness, the thing that challenges you to step out in faith, sometimes in places that makes you incredibly uncomfortable. But I want that thing, and I want us to develop a palate for that thing, because that thing is the tree of life. That thing is the thing that changes the world to look more like the kingdom of heaven. That thing is what I think Revelation 22 paints a picture of for us, right? Okay, last thing. I spent last year making a logo. This is another thing I obsess about that you don't care about. This is it. We have a new logo. Here it is. I know, you're speechless. It's amazing. There's a reason. I want to explain it to you briefly, and then you can get on with your new year, okay? It's an artistic interpretation of what it might look like if you cut a fruit in half, okay? And the idea is that when you cut a fruit in half, you can, like, eat it, you know, it, like, can nourish you. Or you could take those seeds and you could plant it and do the whole thing all over again. You could cultivate more, right? If you notice in the white space in the middle, there's an X. That's on purpose. That means we really desire this tree of life fruit to multiply all throughout our community, right? So here's the thing. Me and a bunch of other people spent a lot of time on this. I'm really excited about it. Zero people who are not here this morning are going to look at that and go, oh, that church is all about being a tree of life, right? That's not how that works. But you know it, right? Every good logo is a story that's like really, really boiled down to its most essential point. And you know it now. So every time you see this, I want you to think, oh yeah, this community is supposed to be fruit-bearing. We're supposed to be a tree of life. We're supposed to be sowing seeds in our community. We're supposed to be reflecting the kingdom of God. 2017, my hope for you is that it is a year marked with more and more spiritual fruit and growth and power in the Spirit. That's my prayer for you. My prayer is that as I dream and as we believe in the beyond the horizon future that God has for us, that we would all begin to start doing the work of taking steps towards making that a reality. Instead of all sitting together and going, won't that be so nice someday? Like, we actually get our hands in the dirt and start making it reality by the Spirit's help, that we could dream and live obedience to God in a way that changes our world. I want to close just by saying I'm really grateful to be here. I'm really grateful that we get to do this together. And it's a new year. Like, let's turn a page. It's a new season. Let's dream together as a church what it might look like to literally change this little corner of Ohio to look more like eternity in Christ. Let's pray together. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we really, really look forward to the day that you are eternally in our presence and that we are in your presence. And that we don't need lights or the sunshine because we have you, our light, in our midst. But Lord, may we not simply wait around for that day to come, thinking of how much fun we might have someday on the beach, but rather actively pursuing a plan on how we might end up there. A plan that revolves on your leadership, on your Spirit's presence and power, on your ability to usher all of us wandering cats down the road in a way that reflects your love and your life and your beauty. We really, really, really want to see revival in Ashland, Ohio. We really, really want to see hurting people healed, broken relationships mended, sick people miraculously brought back to health. We really, really want to see your kingdom break through, Jesus. We want to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to see that as lofty and as powerful as that dream might be, right now, what we need to live into that might simply be take one more step in faith forward toward you. We pray all this in the strong name of Jesus and God's people.